DW.
Come on in, I'm Craig. Just take a seat over here.
Back in 1999, Craig Scott was a typical 16-year-old student at Columbine High School.
Littleton, where I grew up, was just a good town. It wasn't anywhere you would ever be afraid of being out. There wasn't crime that happened. And my school was a big school. It was 2,000 students. We could see the Rocky Mountains from the school. It's a beautiful view, very pretty town.
But on the 20th of April that year, everything changed forever.
Jefferson County 911.
Yes, I am a teacher at Columbine High School. There is a student here with a gun.
Well, that morning I was on my way to school with my sister. We had gotten into a little argument because I made us late to school. I was always had to have my hair just perfect. I walked into school, went to my classes. I went to the library to study for a test around my lunch period. And that's when I heard some poppy noises coming from outside the school.
At a little after 11 o'clock in the morning, two gunmen, who were also students at the school, began their attack outside the main building. Inside the library, everyone had been told to hide.
So I got underneath the table with two of my friends, Matt and Isaiah. Something within me, I'm a spiritual person, and I felt like God told me to become very still. And so I became very quiet, and the poppy noises started to get louder as the shooters came into the school, and the library was the first room they came into.
The gunmen were dressed in black trench coats. One had a shotgun, the other had a semi-automatic weapon. They also had a duffel bag full of ammunition.
So when they came in the library, they treated it like it was a game that they had, or a movie that they had watched so many times. They were mocking or taunting students before they shot or killed them. They treated it like it was a game. They would peek underneath a table and say peekaboo and shoot a girl. They came over to where I was. They saw my friend Isaiah. Isaiah was one of the very few black students at my school. And so one of them called the other one over, and they started to make racial slurs, called Isaiah racial slurs, and they were dragging him out from underneath the table. And the last thing that he said was, "I want to see my mom." And they shot and killed Isaiah, and they shot and killed Matt, and left me underneath that table. And my ears are ringing so loud from the shotgun blast, I thought they were bleeding, and I was paralyzed with fear, and I thought I was going to die.
Craig remembers that when one of the gunmen, Eric, shot one of his victims with a shotgun, it recoiled back and broke his nose. The shock of it seemed to stop Eric in his tracks.
And the FBI and psychologists that went in and studied everything that happened, they said that they believed the reason he didn't shoot that next girl was because when the shotgun kicked back and he felt pain and he smelled his own blood, all of a sudden it was real. What he was doing was real. It wasn't a game. It wasn't some fantasy. It wasn't some delusional fantasy that they had. It was real, and he was causing real pain.
When the shooters left the library and Craig got to his feet, behind him, a girl who'd been shot in the shoulder was calling out for help. Craig carried her out of an emergency exit and over to a police car parked outside. And, crouched behind the car, someone pointed to a body of a girl on the grass outside.
And I didn't realize it right there at that moment, but I looked out from behind the police car, and I would later realize that I was looking at my sister, Rachel, that she had been killed right outside the school library.
Spend all your time waiting. Over the next few days, the town became infamous as the media flocked to the scene of the atrocity.
The day after, I did an interview with Katie Couric, who's a famous anchor for a show called Today Show. And I was with Isaiah's father. And in the interview, she told cameras not to go to commercial because I was telling about Isaiah's last moments of his life. And Isaiah's dad, this big black man, reached out and grabbed my hands, just this little, you know, white boy, and grabbed my hands.
The video is powerful. In the dark before the dawn, Craig and Isaiah's father, Michael, sit side by side on chairs in the snow. Snow falls all around them, as Craig explains the last moments of Isaiah's life.
In the arms of the angel, fly away.
The whole world was kind of tuning in to what was happening and wondering why this was happening in the States. Me, I was, because I had witnessed a lot of carnage, I was in a lot more shock, and so the emotions didn't come right away for me. And actually, for months and months to come, I was kind of like a zombie, but I was watching people that I loved and cared about and knew and were friends with that were completely an emotional wreck, and so I wasn't thinking exactly right at that time for myself.
Rachel Scott's funeral was broadcast live around the world, and millions watched. America was mourning and trying to comprehend.
What has happened to us as a people that this should happen to us? What is wrong that such brutality can take place among our children?
After the trauma of his own experience and the grief of losing his sister, it took Craig a long time to begin the process of coming to terms with what had happened.
You know, for a couple years, I hated these guys, but it changed for me when I was 18, 2 years later. I went on a trip to South Africa on a mission trip with a church group. My sister wanted to go there, so they invited me to go in her place. And so I spent 3 months in South Africa, and we had a bus driver that always sang these very beautiful African hymns in Zulu, and he changed me.
One night, when they were sitting up late, the bus driver told Craig he could see that he was troubled and asked him why. And that's when Craig told him his story.
And then he told me what happened with him, and he told me how he came home. It was during the apartheid in South Africa, and he came home to find his entire village killed. And he actually lost 17 members of his family, his wife, his children, his siblings, everyone. And he was the last person left from his family. And this was a guy that I'd spent a couple months with and was just so filled with joy and contentment and just positive person. And then he talked to me about forgiveness, and he told me something that I always remembered. And it was, forgiveness is like setting a prisoner free and finding out that prisoner is you.
Craig has spent the last 20 years sharing the story of his sister's life by visiting schools and communities across the country. Rachel wanted to be a writer one day, and she left behind journals filled with her thoughts. Craig uses his own memories from Columbine and Rachel's words from her journals to tell a story of love and forgiveness.
Here's something that she wrote in a journal with her cousin. She said, "Don't let your character change color with your environment. Find out who you are and let it stay its true color." And probably the biggest thing that's shared in schools that many students have read this essay that she wrote called My Ethics, My Codes of Life. And at the very end, she said, "I have this theory that if one person can go out of their way to show compassion, then it will start a chain reaction of the same. People will never know how far a little kindness can go." I've spent 20 years sharing her story, and so I've seen incredible things. I had a student once in Texas. He handed me a hit list, a list of kids that he was going to kill. He had plans and weapons ready to go, and he handed me the hit list and said, "You just saved a lot of kids from dying at this school." And I had to tell the principal. Police got involved. They searched his room, found plans, weapons.
There have been a lot of copycat attacks inspired by the Columbine massacre over the years. How does Craig feel when he sees these in the news?
You know, at first, when I first started hearing about it, did bring a lot of the same emotions back, even a little bit of shock, a little bit of numbness, anger, sadness, all that. But it's... more that it now, it just reaffirms why what I do is important. It just makes me, it kind of rekindles my fire in what I do. But in this
this video you see, he go. There's basically three teens, kind of each dealing with something, and then he goes.
Craig likes to end his presentations by playing students a song that he and a friend made using Rachel's journals as inspiration. It's called "Light Up the Darkness" and sums up Craig's mission to spread positivity in a world which was so cruel.
Then being impacted. Then you'll also see my dad walking through the halls of like where a shooting happened.
I cursed the darkness all night long. It wouldn't go away. I threatened, yelled, and pleaded, but the dark was here to stay.
My dad.
The top of the sky rained down. A million and one more souls in the good fight. I feel alive.
Feel like I'm alive for the first time,
In the two decades since Columbine, the United States and many other parts of the world have witnessed similar, and in some cases worse, mass shootings. It can only be hoped that Craig's mission of positivity will continue to make a difference. This is Ashley Byrne for DW.
See what I know burns inside you and me. Who you want to be? Need to escape. There's a place we can go. Everything we're against don't exist anymore. Cause it all gets ignored cause of everything we're for. So no more standing in the middle of the road. Froze on which way I really gotta go. No yellow bricks.
DW.